I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call. And at the midnight cry, we'll be going home. I look around me, and I see prophecies fulfilled, and the signs of the time, they're appearing everywhere.
What a joy to bring you Open Bible Dialogue today. We're going to have a great broadcast. We really are. I want you to get your Bible. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I cannot think of a chapter that's more exciting to a dedicated Christian who really wants to be used of God than this great chapter. Now, we're going to have a great time together. I want you to get right in the middle of it with me. We have a great audience by radio. We have a great audience by telecast. And we have a great audience really by the archives, which is 24/7 right on the internet. And many people around the world, I mean up to 100 countries, are involving themselves in this ministry. And we are excited for you. Now, we're going to have a very slow-paced, very careful broadcast today. And we're going to deal with this Holy Bible. Remember, we call this Open Bible Dialogue. Does everybody remember that name? Open Bible Dialogue. And we're here to talk with you by radio or either by internet with the things of the Bible, the Scripture, the Holy Book. I am telling you, the Bible is pure. It is perfect. It is absolutely perfect. It cannot fail. It's infallible. So if the Bible says it, that settles it. Do you understand that? If the Bible says it, that settles it. And there's really nothing you and I can change about this holy book. It's set in concrete. It's the Word of God. Now, we're going to talk about one of the most exciting subjects that I've involved myself in over the last year or two. I dig in the Bible. I study. We're going to talk about the unknown tongues. Unknown tongues, the language of the Heavenly Father. The language that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost communicate with each other with. This is the language of heaven. This is the language of the Father, the language of the Son, the language of the Holy Ghost. Now, nobody would question that God has a language uniquely separate and different from the earthly languages. And you read in 1 Corinthians 13 that the angels even have a language. I would presume their language is uniquely different than the Father's. I don't know that. It may be that they talk the Father's language. That would be exciting to me. I wouldn't feel bad about that. But I do know there is an unknown tongue. And let me take you to start the broadcast today. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and read one verse. And now, this subject today is going to be from chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. That means any question you have out of 1 Corinthians 14, you can ask me. I will do my best to answer that question. Any question you have out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let me read you verse 2, if I might. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, that's very clear. You can't question that, I don't think. Let me go to verse 14 of 1 Corinthians. That's chapter 14 again. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. His inner man is doing the praying, talking to God, but my understanding is unfruitful. So a man, woman, Christian, who is praying in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, and they're praying in the Father's language, they don't know what they're saying, but their spirit does. And the Holy Spirit in them is God in that prayer, so that the prayer is in the perfect mind of God, the perfect harmony of the Heavenly Father and the Son. I mean, it's beautiful indeed to think of praying in this fashion. I hope you see it as beautiful as I see it, because it is extremely important to any great prayer warrior. Now, I want to ask some questions today, and I want you to listen to these questions, and let's consider them as some questions you may excuse me, want to ask me about. Why did the early church have such awesome power? Why did that early church have so much power? They turned the world upside down. Why did they see such miracles as the lame man in the book of Acts chapter 3? I mean, the power they had was awesome power. It was overwhelming power. It was breathtaking. Now, second question, would you like to be part of a church where the sick were healed constantly, where there were beautiful miracles occurring, blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, lame feet made whole? I mean, would you like to be part of a church like that? How can we go back to that kind of a church? How can we see that kind of church today? How do you feel about your prayer life? How do you feel about your individual prayer life? Is it satisfying? Do you think you're getting answers? Are you seeing great miracles? Are you seeing things that you know need to happen, need to occur? Does your prayer life Does your prayer life have mighty answers? Are you having answers from your prayer life that just take your breath away because they're so awesome and they're so wonderful? How much does your pastor say and talk about his prayer life? Does your pastor ever tell you about spending the night in prayer, about spending hours in prayer, about praying until God gave him an answer, and we're going to see that answer in our altar service this morning? How much power does your pastor have in prayer? Now, very important, does your minister get anointed when he preaches the gospel? Does the Holy Ghost come upon him? Do you sense a moving of God's Spirit in your church as the pastor preaches, as the gospel is proclaimed and declared? How much power does your pastor have when he preaches the word of God? How long has it been since you saw a clear, discernible miracle in your spiritual life? How long has it been? Has it been weeks, months, years? How long has it been? I'm trying to help you think about your prayer life and think about the prayer life of your church. Think about the prayer life of the church world around you. I want you to get this thought in your heart. Do you have a desperate need for a miracle in your life? Do you have a desperate need for a miracle in your life? I mean, is there something in your life that you're just so desperate for God to answer? I just had a call about an hour ago from Michigan. A man said, I've been trying to find a church and can't find one that really helps me. And so I've been on the internet listening to your sermons, and I want to be saved. And I spent a while with that dear man. I was in a hurry, but I just cut everything I was doing, and we prayed, and God wonderfully saved him. And I tell you, it was very evidently a new man. His name is Todd. I told him I would call his name, only first name, on the internet, so that you would pray with me for God to help Todd now to live this Christian life. But Todd from Michigan just found the Lord about an hour ago from listening to sermons on our broadcast. Now, are your children and grandchildren unsaved? Do you desperately need a miracle with your family members? Do you desperately need a miracle among your family members? Now, I'm trying to get you to think about your prayer life. And then I want to take you to talk about praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Spirit of God. You heard me read a while ago. Paul said, "For I pray in an unknown tongue." Or when I pray, for if I pray, I'm sorry, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, he's already said, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, I'm opening a wonderful subject for you today. Many of you are not Pentecostals, and you don't understand much of the language of the Pentecostal church. You maybe have never read the book of Acts. Maybe your pastor never preaches from the book of Acts. Have you read recently how that on the day of Pentecost, they received mighty power? Have you read recently how they turned the world upside down and 3,000 were saved the first day Peter preached? 5,000 were saved a few days later. One sermon, one service, 3,000. Another service, 5,000. Then it said multitudes. Now, something is amiss in the church world. Something is out of order. Something needs a miracle. Something needs help. And I believe it's prayer. Old-fashioned, Bible-anointed, Holy Ghost-anointed, praying in the Spirit of God until we break through the crust and the hindrance and all the powers of hell that stand against us. And I want you in radio land and you in internet land to stop right where you are and let's talk about this and let me help you. Again, go to 1 Corinthians 14, open up that chapter, and let's read any verse in there you want to read. Let's have your questions. I'm already getting a lot of questions. That's exciting. I want it to be that way. Now, how to call me? 1-800-338-7884. Local number, 704-391-0588. Let me give you those numbers again. My throat's acting up today, so forgive me. 704-391-0588. Excuse me. 704-391-0588. And then the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. Now, I want you also to send your questions on the internet. JRC@paulcreek.org. JRC@paulcreek.org. Now, all over the radio land, let me tell you that last Saturday we had a couple of mishaps. The internet was off until right before we came on the air. I never knew we were on the air, even though we were. And the telephones were not working. And that was a mistake on my part, but it was because of an error or something different about our system. I heard me ringing in here, or the phone's ringing, but my secretaries couldn't hear it. And I'm sorry. I apologize. So if you called last Saturday, that's why you didn't get through. So you can have last Saturday's gift, which was a CD from the first day of our Bible study with a wonderful preacher by the name of Jeff Mayo. Now, today, I'm going to give you the third day. That would be Thursday morning, 11 o'clock, that Jeff spoke here at the camp meeting 2 weeks ago. And in that particular message, he gave a prophecy about Paul Creek. He gave a prophecy about this church, about this pastor, about my family. And I would love for you to have a copy of that. And it's the third day of the camp meeting Bible teaching by Jeff Mayo. Okay? So if you call today, it'll be yours free. Okay? The CD from last Saturday that you didn't get. And the CD from today that you can call and get. And the phone number I just gave you, 1-800-338-7884, local number, 704-391-0588. Now, grab your phones or grab your mouse, okay? I want to hear from you. I want your questions. I want you to call me on the phone. I love to take calls by telephone. I want you to know that. I love to take calls by telephone. I'd rather take them by telephone than take them by internet, but I'll take them either way I get them, okay? Now, I already have a question. It came in early today, and I put a sermon up this week in which I said, God hates sin, but God loves sinners. God hates sin, but God loves sinners. And so a good listener, reader, called me and asked me this question. Would I please read Psalms 5 and 5? That's Psalms 5 and 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. I think the question there is a very legitimate one, but I think there's an easy answer. I think he's talking about the sin, the wickedness, the dark things they're doing. God isn't saying that he hates the individual and just wants to damn their soul. God is saying, I hate what you're doing. Well, you can't hate sin and not hate what a sinner is doing. How can you? That just goes together. If you hate sin, then you hate what a sinner is doing. Very, very important. Now, let me see here what I'm getting. Is it foretelling? What exactly is prophesying? That's a good question. What exactly is prophesying? Prophesying is telling something by the Holy Ghost that may relate to the past, may relate to the present, and may have to do with the future. So a prophecy can be either past, present, or future. It is when God speaks by prophecy, by the Holy Ghost, to people. He did that in our camp meeting. He did it that particular Thursday to our church and my family, myself, my wife, my family. And it was really powerful. I printed it this week and sent it to all of our people and a lot of friends of this ministry and you know, just trying to get it out there, because whatever God says cannot return void, but will accomplish the purpose whereunto the Lord hath sent it. So when God tells you something, you can take it to the bank, friend. When God gives a prophecy, a legitimate, Bible-centered, God-honoring prophecy that comes by the Holy Spirit into the human spirit and then is spoken by that person, that individual, that's a powerful thing. How the church world needs to get back to prophesying and get back to the Holy Spirit and get back to the anointing of God in prayer, I can think of nothing more desperate. It really is. So I hope I've answered that. Is it foretelling the future? I've heard people speaking in tongues, but not prophesying. Well, I've heard a lot of speaking in tongues, but very little prophecy. Very little. Occasionally, God has used me to give a prophecy. I've heard a few prophecies through the years, and the one I just got from Jeff O'May was just overwhelming, and I want you to have it. Now, listen to me, everybody out there. Whether you're listening by internet or radio, I will give you the third day one CD with a lesson that was given by Reverend Jeff Mayo on Thursday of our camp meeting. I will give that to you. I will give that to you. All you got to do is call and ask for it. And you will have on it this prophecy that was given to myself and to our church and to my wife and to us. And it was very encouraging. God was promising us a daybreak at Paul Creek, and I'm really believing that, a daybreak at Paul Creek. We've fought the enemy for several years now, ferocious effort to destroy us. Now, I can understand why, just like the man who was just saved from Michigan, because he'd been on the internet listening to our sermons, and God got a hold of him, and he was so genuine. Name is Todd again, and he was wonderfully saved about an hour and 30 minutes ago, an hour and 20 minutes ago. Isn't that wonderful? It's overwhelming to me. I love it. So prophesying is foretelling something from God about the past, about the present, or about the future. Most of the time, we think of prophecy as futuristic. It has to do with the coming of the Lord, revival God's going to give us, or something. You know, the New Testament has quite a bit of people speaking in prophecy. So you can't doubt it. It's absolutely biblical. I don't think anybody could doubt it. You got to doubt portions of the Bible if you do. Now, let me hear from you. You are very important here. Let me go to this one here. Let me show. When someone speaks in tongues, how do we know it is of God? Boy, that's a good question. I've heard some cheesy tongues through the years. Cheesy, chit-chatter. You know, I've heard a lot of that. And there will always be people who imitate. The devil is an imitator. You say, Brother Chambers, if the devil imitates tongues, doesn't that mean it's bad? No, it means it's good. Because the devil don't imitate anything that's not real. The devil is an imitator. He is made up of imitation. From the very beginning, he tried to be God. He tried to replace God. He tries to replace everything that God is and everything that God does. So when you think of tongues as something the devil tries to do, you know it must be of God. Now, you must have the discerning of spirits. The church must be full of the discerning of spirits. You, the pastor, I've had to go back and stop somebody who was trying to speak in tongues, and it wasn't of God. I've had to have a man one time removed from the congregation because he would not be quiet. He was determined that he was going to take over. And you're going to have that. You cannot have the real without having an imitation. You cannot have the real without having an imitation. But if you got a good man of God that's a pastor, you got a man that knows the Spirit, he's discerning, he'll put a stop to it. I've met people in the aisle and said, turn around and go back, friend, because they were out of order. So you know, one, the person who is speaking, what is their life? What is their faithfulness? Can you depend on them? That's why you don't walk in a new church and think you can prophesy, you can speak in tongues when the people don't even know you. The Bible says, know them that labor among you. Oh, I don't allow nobody. I've had people come in and say, hey, I'm a prophetess. Can I, women especially, I'm a prophetess. Can I prophesy here? And I would say, no, not until you stay around here and get settled. Not until we know you. Not until we know how you live. Not until we know some things about you. You cannot come in here and prophesy. We would stop it in a moment. I hope you would appreciate that. If you wouldn't, then I can't do anything but tell you that's how we do it here. It seems to me that tongues is emphasized far more than other gifts, and I agree. Tongues is emphasized more because there is a reason. It is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's personal tongues. That has to do with the individual who is receiving the baptism. We had a sermon preached recently here, and it was marvelous, preached by Mike Switzer. On Sunday night, the revival began, and he preached on tongues as a ministry. If you want a sermon that will really help you understand tongues, that would be a good one. Mike Switzer, the first Sunday of our camp meeting, the date of that would have been the 20, what would it have been? I've got to take a call here. Forgive me for not moving in that direction. Let's take a call. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, brother. Thank you. How are you doing today?
Hey, my friend. How about you?
I'm fine. I wanted to call and apologize to you on the air. I called a week before last. Ever since I spoke to you, I have felt in my spirit that I did wrong, and I just wanted to apologize to you on the air. Because I called you, and it was talking about living a perfect life. I said that, read Romans chapter 7, if you remember that call.
I remember, and your apology is accepted, and I love you for it, brother.
I love you, brother. I'll be praying for you, and I hope that you'll be praying for me.
Absolutely. A man who has the courage to call and do that kind of apology is my kind of man. I have to apologize sometimes, too. See, we're human beings. We're just human beings. We prophesy in part. We don't know everything yet. Well, we're still learning, so thank you for calling.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you. God bless you. That is absolutely beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. And I appreciate that call very, very much. Now, grab your phone. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Now, ladies are standing by. We're going to give you now the CD. The CD from the third morning, that's the Thursday of our camp meeting. I mean, this CD will bless your life. The date of that would have been, what would it have been? I can't go back that far and remember all these kind of dates. I'm sorry for that. But, something like the 24th or 5th. But that's okay. We'll know. The Thursday, the third day of the Bible lesson, we'd love to give you a copy. And I'd like for you to have that prophecy. I want you to learn that the power of the Holy Ghost is as real as it's ever been. I mean, it's mighty to save. Learning about the Father's language, unknown tongues being the Father's language, that's been a marvelous thing in my life. I mean, I don't know why the Pentecostal world ever, ever let that slip from us. I'm amazed at that. Why would we let something as dynamic and real as that is slip away from us? I want us to rediscover it. I want every one of you, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, it don't matter with me where you go to church, get on your knees in your home, in your library, in your bedroom, in your church office, in your business office, wherever you can find a place to get alone with God, and just pray. Father, I want to learn the power of praying. I want to learn the power of praying in the Spirit. I want to see answers for my unsaved children. I want to see miracles for my friends who need to be healed. I want to see the power of God. Now, let me tell you, the greatest need of the church world is prayer. I'm tired of just cheesy praying that gets nothing done. Cheesy praying that's going nowhere. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's James talking. The effectual, no, it's the Holy Ghost talking, but James wrote it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, you grab your phone. I want you to call quickly. I want every one of you on the air with me today. I would like everybody out there to have a chance to ask a question. Let me see if I can get here to other questions that have been asked already. Hello, Reverend Chambers. God bless you and yours. You are sounding good, and the video is good, but the Open Bible Dialogue banner stays. Oh, forgive me. You know, I should not have allowed that to happen. I tend to do things like this. And I'm very sorry. I really am. I'm very sorry. And there it goes. Well, now I removed it and it came right back. So I know how to remove it and it can't come back. Okay? There we go. There we go. And we're right here. And you are special to me. You're special to me. I'm sorry. That Open Bible Dialogue Band. There's one thing that I'm having trouble remembering. I'm going to try to see this week if when my image comes up, if I can set it to where that automatically goes down. I'm sure that's possible. I need some help from somebody smarter than me. Oh, would you forgive me? I'm so sorry. Thank you. Thank you, my friend, for doing that. That is wonderful of you to help me like that. I'm always open. I really am. Let's see if he has a question. Too long blocking some of the screen at the bottom. Other than that, all is well. Thank you for all you do. Please keep me and Barb in your prayer. That's Billy Joe. I won't tell you where he's from, but thank you, Billy. You're one of my wonderful listeners. Let's take a call here. I love to take calls. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Hello, this is Bernard.
Say that again.
This is Bernard from Annapolis, Maryland.
Okay.
And I just called to see that I enjoy you, Pastor Chambers.
Can you get on the phone and get a little closer to your phone?
Can you hear me now?
A little better, but something seems to be wrong. You seem like you're about 100 miles from here.
Well, anyway, I just want to say Obama is of the devil.
Okay, thank you for calling now, and thank you for listening, okay? Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. I want to hear from you. I do want to hear from you. Thank you for that listener. I believe he said Maryland, if I'm not sure. But I'm glad he called. And you, wherever you are, you called. Now, we're talking about unknown tongues. I'm imagining that there's a multitude out here that maybe have never even heard that term, unknown tongues. Is it in the Bible? Of course, I wouldn't teach you anything that's not in the Bible. I mean, it's very plain. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Did you hear that? For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. No man. There's no such thing as a human who can understand a person praying in unknown tongues. Now, let me give you something here that you must not forget. If people cannot know what you're saying when you pray in unknown tongues, that means the devil doesn't know what you're saying when you pray in unknown tongues. That means when you pray in the Spirit, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you talk to God in the power of the Holy Ghost, you are talking straight to the Father, and the devil cannot interpret. He cannot understand. He cannot set up a barrage against you. He cannot try to stop what you prayed about. He can do nothing but back up. And that is the need of this hour. We're dealing with powers of hell like we've never dealt with. The Antichrist is coming like a storm. The Bible said the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent, that's the mighty man, mighty woman, takes it by force. You cannot take this kingdom from the devil if you don't take it by the power of the Holy Ghost working in you. Your fleshly power is not worth a nickel against the devil. I mean, it is no value. And that's what's wrong with our churches. That's why homosexuality is taking over our churches. That's why many of the musicians and piano players and organ players across America are lesbians and homosexuals. That's why there is so much abortion right in the church, because there's no power in the church, because there's no power for praying in the church. Now, praying in the Holy Ghost will shake the devil's kingdom. I said praying in the Holy Ghost will shake the devil's kingdom. Do you hear me? I said praying in the Holy Ghost will shake the devil's kingdom. And that's what I'm here to teach you how to do all over the world. I don't care what country you're listening to me, Australia, New Zealand, Ukraine, South Africa, England, South America. Listen to me. When you pray in the power of the Holy Ghost, you're going to shake the devil's kingdom. Are you interested? Oh, I'm not interested, Brother Chambers. Well, you need to get saved. If you can see, watch this world go to hell and not want to do something about it, then I would say something's wrong. If you learn to pray in the power of the Spirit. Now, you know, there's so much Bible here that I could take you to, and I don't want to overdo any of you. I really don't. But Romans chapter 8, would you go with that with me a minute? Romans chapter 8, and let me read you something that maybe this will get through to you. Maybe you will understand this, and maybe that it can somehow speak to you and help you. For we know not all things. Wait a minute, let me find the right verse here. Likewise, now this is Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we, that's us, you and me, know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now the Holy Ghost, I'm marking this so I don't have to go looking. Listen to me now. The Holy Ghost maketh intercession for us with groanings which we cannot utter. That's praying in the Holy Ghost. And he that searcheth the heart, this is the Holy Ghost, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. He maketh intercession, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now you go to Romans 8 and verse 26 and 27. Romans 8, verse 26, 27. Romans 8, verse 26, 27. Have you got it? I want you to have it. I want you to go read it. I want you to go read it two or three times. Memorize it. Get it written down in your heart, friend. Get it written down in your heart, friend. I'm telling you, it will change your life. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, Brother Joe.
Hey, my friend.
This is Buddy Locklear.
Hey, buddy.
In the 5th verse of chapter 14.
Yes.
Tell me about that, brother.
Okay, the 5th verse of chapter 14. I said earlier, we got nearly 30 minutes. Any verse in 1 Corinthians 14, there's 40 verses. You can ask me a question about any verse in there, okay? I would love to have it, and here's the first one. I would that you all spake with tongues. Now, that's Paul talking to the church. I would that you all spake with tongues. He's making it very plain that tongues is a gift from God. It is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is a continuing channel of intercession and prayer straight to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And so Paul is saying, I want all of you to learn the value of the gift of tongues. I want it to be part of your life. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he give interpretation. Okay? Except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, go into a congregation. Go with me now, Brother Locklear. We're going to go into a church, and here's the service that's going on. And here's the person who just stands and speaks in tongues, and it's nothing but them, and they're getting blessed, but nobody else is getting blessed. They're just getting blessed, and everybody's watching them. Now, here's another person who stands and gives a prophecy, or gives a tongue, and then gives an interpretation. Then you are blessed. So Paul is saying, in the church, In the foregoing of a worship service, it should not be just a bunch of people speaking in tongues and nothing that people understand or people can deal with or grasp or be blessed by. He's saying there should be order in the church. I want you all to speak with tongues. I want you to have this gift. but I don't want you to dominate the church service with it. That's really what he's saying. Do you understand that?
I do now, brother, and I'm glad you told me that, because here's what does in some of you. Hear people speaking tongues and nobody can talk.
Well, see, it's not wrong for me to be preaching and in the midst of my preaching to speak a few words in tongues. That's an inspiration that helps me. But I don't preach the sermon in tongues. I just praise the Lord a minute. And it's nothing wrong in people in the congregation when it's orderly and nobody is dominating, just people worshiping God. And sometimes there may be several. On the day of Pentecost, 120 were speaking in tongues at the same time. So you have to be very careful with that. It cannot be dominating. It cannot steal the service, but it must be allowed, and Paul is making that very plain.
Okay, brother, I appreciate that.
I am delighted. Let me see if I can go to another one here. You just keep listening, Brother Locklear. You are my friend. You know that. Now call quickly, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Local number 704. Everybody in Charlotte, Concord, all around me, everywhere in Gastonia, everywhere who can hear 1240 or 1270, grab your phone and call me right now. Grab your phone. I want you to be on the air with me, and I want to give you this prophecy, this wonderful message by Brother Jeff Mayo from Thursday of the camp meeting. That's the Bible study lesson on the power of praying in Pentecostal anointing, the power of praying in the Spirit. You'll love the sermon. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, it doesn't matter with me. You'll love it. It'll make things begin to happen in your life. It'll change your whole prayer life. It'll make a new person out of you, my dear friend. You won't ever be the same again. I promise you. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you learn to pray in the power of the Spirit, hey, remember what Jude said? How many have read the book of Jude lately? This great book right before the book of Revelation. I love it. Listen to what Jude said in his great book. I'm trying to find it here. I try to mark things, and if I don't, then I have to fumble around a little bit, okay? I'm getting older, you know. You do understand that, don't you? You do know that, don't you? All right, you know it. That settles it. The book of Jude. Listen to this. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You would be amazed to start studying your Bible about praying in the Spirit, to find out how much you would find in your Bible about praying in the Spirit. You can go to the book of Ephesians, and this is the great book that we're studying right now on Wednesday night. And it's very powerful what he says after he deals with the devil and how we are laboring not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Then he says, praying always in the Spirit. Praying always in the Spirit. Do you know, if you don't know the power of praying in the Holy Ghost, you don't know much about dealing with the spirit world. And you're probably being defeated over and over and over and over again. All right, I've got a message here. I'm confused about what to pray for. For example, I had cancer. When I had it, I didn't know whether to pray for healing or to pray for God's will. I finally ended up praying for both. What do you say? I say that double-minded praying doesn't get any results. When you pray, now, Father, I want to be healed, but I don't know whether it's your will or not. So if it's your will, you heal me. You might as well not pray. Let me tell you how you pray. You pray according to the Bible. If God made a promise, you claim it. You stand on top of it. You do not shatter or shake or shimmy. You just stand. I came up with that word shimmy. You just literally pray on the power of the Bible, the power of the Word of God. If the Bible promises it, that settles it. Do you not understand that? When the Bible promises something, it's yours. Here, let me read it to you. The Bible said it. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we may be healed. No, don't say that. With his stripes, if it's God's will, we can be healed. Don't say that. I mean, what does it say? And with his stripes we are healed. healed. When you pray for healing, you stand on the word of God. Don't shake and don't be careless. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Did you know it said that? Come boldly. Well, let's go to that. I believe in saying things like the Bible says them, and that is very important. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me see if I can find it. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his might. No, I don't have it in that verse. Well, it says it, and I wouldn't say it if it didn't. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You learned that. Come boldly. Boy, I need to preach a sermon just on that one thought. Coming boldly to the throne of grace. I promise I'll do that. Coming boldly to the throne of grace. Now, the phone number, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. That's 704-391-0588. The 800 number, 1-800-338-7884. And then, of course, email jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, my ladies are standing by. We love to send you gifts. So today, right now, would you start? And everybody out there who would listen to this Bible lesson, a Bible lesson taught by Reverend Jeff Mayo, would you call right now and let us send you a CD, no charge to you. We will send it to you free and postpaid, and we will bless you with it. So grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, or send an email, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Now we have a question here, and these are very important. When someone is born again, it is of the Spirit. We don't have to be good to be saved, just come by faith. In fact, the Corinthians were worldly and carnal. Why is Paul telling them about tongues? Instead, shouldn't he first talk about repentance and sanctification? Well, the truth of it is, he does. If you don't believe it, read Romans. Read other books. Paul, and he's already dealt with these Corinthians in chapter 3 about their carnality. And that was dealing with sanctification. So taking chapter 14 about tongues and not going back and reading those first chapters, you might think that he's talking to them about tongues when he should have been talking about sanctification and good, clean living. But he'd already talked about that. He's already dealt with that. Come on now, brother. Go back to your Bible. You asking me a question when you could have went right back and read chapters 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 5, and it would have told you how Paul was dealing with them about their old carnal life, trying to get them sanctified, set apart. Thank you for calling, though. You gave me a chance to preach a little bit, didn't you? I think that's what you meant to do. All right, call me, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. I want to hear from you. I really do. I want to hear from you. I don't see another email, so if you want to send one, you do it real quickly, okay? It's up to you. I would love to talk with you and be a blessing. I really mean that with all of my heart. And it's going good today. Last Saturday was really, really a tough one, but we got through it. And then Monday, a computer crashed. I don't know whether it was a virus. We don't know what it was. But we know it made a mess out of the week, and we didn't get it straight till about 9 o'clock Thursday night. Was really a terrible week for me. Oh, man. Sometimes I think the devil just don't like me. In fact, there's some of you that probably don't like me either. Okay, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Whatever I ever said or did that would bother anybody, please forgive me. I'm telling you, my heart yearns for the purity of God. My heart yearns for a Holy Ghost revival. And I got to tell you now that I'm preaching in the morning a very important message that I really want you to hear. Let me go to my outline. I'm preaching on the glory and power of repentance. The glory and power of repentance. Listen to me now. I want to tell you something. Repentance is not a negative thing. Repentance is considered by most of the church world as being so negative they won't even preach it. That is a mistake, friend. Repentance is not negative. Repentance is one of the most positive things in the Bible. Repentance is one of the most positive things in the Bible. Did you know that little minds cannot repent? Did you know that people who are self-seekers cannot repent? Did you know that a self-righteous people cannot repent? Did you know that conceited people cannot repent? Did you know that it only can be the great mind that repents? Remember David, a man after God's own heart, who sinned grievously, but repented just as wonderfully as he could have, and went on to please God. See, repentance is not negative. I'm preaching this in the morning. If you've ever heard a sermon that could change your life, this could change your life. If you're one of those that just hates the word repentance, you'd get angry when your preacher stands up and says, repent. Well, I'm telling you, repentance is one of the greatest things in this Bible, one of the greatest tools that God's ever used, one of the greatest expressions of great people. It is a positive thing, and I'm going to prove that in the morning. I'm going to prove that tomorrow morning at the 11 o'clock service right here at Paul Creek when I preach on, listen to me, let me tell you again, when I preach on this thought, the glory and power of repentance. Oh, what a powerful thing. A powerful thing, the glory and power of repentance. I want you to hear that sermon. Now listen to me, those of you out there that really need to turn to Christ. And listen to me, church people that need to learn how to pray. Your prayer life has been a miserable failure. Your prayer life has been absolutely of no value. Your church is dying. Your spiritual life has gone down the tube. Your family is going to hell, and you can't seem to do nothing about it. You're a great Christian, maybe, and you love God, and you've been changed, and you are virtuous, but yet you don't know how to pray. I'm here to teach you that praying in the Spirit will change your life. You really don't have to do a thing, but go and read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and the book of Romans chapter 8. You read those two chapters, read verses 26 and 27 of Romans 8, and then read all of chapters 14 of 1 Corinthians, and just do what Paul said to do. Let me tell you something. You say, I don't believe in speaking in tongues. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Did you hear him? He said, forbid not to speak with tongues. Let me read you something a little stronger. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. That's two verses above the one I just quoted or read, where he said, forbid not to speak with tongues. If you forbid people to speak with tongues, you are a false prophet. Are you a false preacher? Are you ignorant of what you're preaching? Are you just have never learned the truth? Whatever it may be, I don't know. I'm not your judge. But I'm here to tell you, read the Bible and do what it said, and you will be profited by it many times over. There's no end to it. Now, 1-800-338. Wow, all the questions that's come in while I'm sitting there just carrying on with all my heart. Let's go to them. I'm confused about what to pray for. All right, I've already read that one. How did I miss that? I don't know. God bless you. You're sounding good. Everything's great there. All right, let's see if we get another one here. Let me therefore come boldly. Hey, this dear man brought me the verse. Isn't that wonderful? I need your help. I really do. This is in Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If God made a promise, you don't need to ask him if it's his will. If you're getting saved, you don't say, now, God, if it's your will, save me, do you? No, you know it's his will to save you. The same is true with healing. You don't need to ask him if it's okay if I pray for healing. You need to just become bold. I'm here to tell you, you need to become bold, and I promise you it will bring results. Now, here's a good word. What is the seal in 2 Timothy 2:19? Now, this is wonderful. 2 Timothy, take your Bible and turn quickly. 2 Timothy 2:19. And let's see what that verse says. Okay? Here we go. I'll read it to you, and it's wonderful. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knoweth them that are his, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That seal is the Holy Spirit. That seal is the Holy Spirit. When you are saved, the moment you are saved, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. If you don't ever let sin enter your life and become dominant in your life, that seal will stand true the rest of your Christian life. I've been sealed by the Holy Ghost for 62 years. Did you hear me? 62 years I've been sealed by the Holy Ghost. How many times would I have fallen if I had not been sealed by the Holy Spirit? Now, I've never let sin reign in my life. If I make a mistake, I repent, I make it right, I go on walking with God. If I would sin, He would give me a space to repent, as He says in Revelation 2 and 3. He'd give me space to repent. But if I did not repent, He said He would remove my candlestick out of His place. And that's in Revelation chapter 2. So you have to repent or He removes your candlestick. When your candlestick is removed, that's when the seal is removed, okay? So don't ever forget that. And He said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Did you notice that? Everyone that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. Did you hear that? That's powerful for you to hear. Now, let me read it again. I don't want you to miss it, okay? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, okay? Now, grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 1-800-338-7884. This is toll-free anywhere in America, Canada, 1-800-338-7884. And now local, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. Well, I've had a lot of good questions here. I think I've got them all. I'm waiting on you. If you have a question, you send it quickly, okay? If you have a question, you send it quickly. All right, I'm looking to see here if I had any calls. I don't want to miss any. I don't think I have. I'm waiting on your question and your call. And while I'm waiting, I'm talking. We're studying today the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 14. In this particular book, Paul deals with the gifts of the Holy Ghost. He especially deals with praying in tongues, even singing in the Spirit. You know, the first thing I remember in Pentecost when I came and was saved at 16 was an old lady. I say old lady, a precious lady. She was old, but she was precious old lady. And she sat over on the right of the pastor on the second pew, and she would sing in the Holy Ghost. I mean, she would sing a song in the Spirit by tongues. You didn't know a word she was singing, but it would send a chill of joy, a sense of the presence of God from one end of that congregation to the other. And I knew when I heard her, that's what I want. I want that Spirit in my life. If you ever get around a real moving of the Holy Spirit, I don't care what you are, Presbyterian, Catholic, you may even be a heathen faith. I'm here to tell you, you ever get around a real move of the Holy Spirit, you're going to want it. Oh, you say, not me. I think you're wrong. I think a real move of the Holy Spirit will move you. Now, there's probably some it wouldn't move. There's some people that they're committed to evil and they aren't going to change. And there's some people committed to their little, you know, their little mental faith that they somehow got latched onto and locked behind. And they're not going to listen to nothing they don't know or haven't ever heard. But that's not but a few people. You get in a real move of the Holy Spirit. I mean, listen to me talk about praying in the Father's language. I guarantee you, there's a bunch of people out there thinking, I wonder if that's really real. I wonder if that could really be my experience. You reckon I could be filled with the Holy Ghost and God could use me to pray in the Holy Ghost and talk to God in His language? I'm here to tell you, yes, yes. You're smarter than I am, probably. You're not, you know, I said a while ago, the only people who can't repent are little people, self-righteous people. Conceited people, people who think they know it all. Those are the people who can't repent. It's the great people who repent. It's the best among us who are willing to repent. It's the greatest man out there in politics or business, wherever he is. When he realizes he needs God, if he's a great person, he'll be willing to repent. That's why we need a move of the Holy Spirit so that people could begin to feel this and see this and hopefully be brought under the power of it. Woo! I'm expecting that in this on this very internet broadcast. I'm just getting used to this camera and this huge computer set in front of me. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not used to it all yet. And it still makes me nervous. And I started not even wearing my coat during the program today. I'm about to burn up. You know, maybe by next Saturday, I'll get courageous enough to throw the coat in the corner and do it in my shirt sleeve. I don't know. But I want you to know, Jesus loves you. And you can be filled with the Holy Ghost, and your prayer life can become dynamite. You can be awesome. Your church will be so stirred. You begin to pray like I'm talking about, and everything about your faith is going to change. Your life's going to change. This Bible is going to come alive to you. I'm here to tell you, my friend, it's going to make a difference in your life. It's going to make a difference in your life. And I'm crying out to you. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. Well, I've got some more here that I've got. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign not to. Oh, I like this. Somebody sent me this just then. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Did you know that? When you are filled with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God moves upon you and you speak in tongues, you know, in the right manner, at the right place, at the right time, do you know it stirs sinners? It moves them. I'm telling you, the greatest need of the hour is old-time saints of God. The old Pentecostals used to go to the grocery store, and two saints would meet together and start rejoicing between the rows of food and shout and speak in tongues. And here'd be standing somebody from another country, and they would be praying and shouting in their tongues. I just heard of the day of this great old man. He's dead now. He was at a baptizing on the creek side. And as they were baptizing, the Spirit of God fell, and people began to shout and praise God. And this man began to speak in tongues. And as he spoke in tongues, two men who were standing there watching came running and fell on their knees, and they both got saved. And when they had gotten saved, they said to the dear man, "Where did you learn that language?" He said, "What language? The one you were talking in when you were shouting." He said, "I don't know that language. That was the Holy Spirit." They said, "Well, you were talking to us in our native tongue and telling us about Jesus and what we needed in our life. And here we are. We've gotten saved now because God used you to talk in our language." I've heard that story and different stories like that so many times. And I'm here to tell you, it's real. It's real. I know it's real. This Pentecostal blessing, I'm here to tell you it's real. It'll change your life. And I'm not just talking to Pentecostals, Baptists, Presbyterians, Methodists, Lutherans, it doesn't matter to me. I love every one of you, regardless of who you are. And I'm here to tell you, God will fill you with His Holy Spirit, and God will make you an anointed prayer warrior, and God will move upon you. And notice again, the Bible said it, not Brother Chambers. Paul is the one who said it. He said, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him." Now, you can't deny that scripture. This Bible is infallible. If you deny that scripture, you got to deny the others. And he makes it plain. He goes on to say, "Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak in tongues." Now, what more can I say to you? What more can I say to you? I've given you the best I've got today, and I'm here to tell you God wants to pour out the Spirit. I want to pray, Father, all across the radio and internet land, I am praying for a move of the Holy Ghost like we have never seen in our history. I'm praying that you'll use this internet and radio ministry to shake the cities, to shake the countries, to shake Washington, to shake people across this world. Bring them to a Pentecostal blessing, to a Pentecostal anointing, to a prayer life that's dynamite and powerful. I'd love to preach to you in the morning. Hey, we've got a great school. We really have. If you want to put your children in a school that's really real, I mean, really, a good, solid curriculum. The Becca, there's not a better curriculum than the Becca program. A Becca program. We'd love to have you. Call Monday, 704-391-0588. We have two scholarships. You may can get a scholarship, okay? So call quickly. I want to hear from you. Remember, tomorrow I'm preaching on the glory and power of repentance. And remember, this is summer. You ever heard of the summer slump? Well, we're having it. And I need to hear from you. I desperately need $10,000 this week. I've asked for this for about a month and haven't got it yet. I've got, you know, some good offerings, and I'm grateful. They're just kind of maintaining us. But I need something to get ahead. Would you help me? Would you help me catch up some radio bills? I need to hear from you this week. Would you call right now, maybe? Give $1,000 or $10,000. I mean, there are people out there who know the truth and love the truth, and you need to open your heart. You can't take that money with you. It's going to lay there and be fought over by your children. Put it in the work of God. Get busy in the kingdom work of Jesus Christ. Now, the ladies will stay right there and answer that phone as long as you call, okay? 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588, email jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, I'd love to send you that number 3 of the Bible lessons in camp meeting by Jeff Mayo. I'd love to send it to you. You'll have a prophecy in it that he gave to this church, and I'd like for you to read that. I'd like for you to hear that, not read it, hear it. And you can read it. We have it in print, of course. We'd love to send it to you. We care about you, friends. We really do. We're praying for a Holy Ghost outpouring like we've never seen in our life. And all across Charlotte, all across Rock Hill, over in Salisbury, down in over in Lincolnton, Gastonia, all around us. I want to hear from you. I want you to be blessed. I want you to learn the power of praying in the Holy Ghost. I want you to become a spirit-filled prayer warrior. I'm not preaching the Spirit of God just to send chills up your spine. I love the joy of the Christian life. But I'm here to tell you, I'm concerned about more than just a little shout. I want a move of the Holy Ghost like I've never seen in my life. I love you now. The number's to call, 1-800-338-7884. Remember now that number, 1-800-338-7884. I want to hear from you. You are very, very important to me. I care about you. I care deeply about you. I'm praying for you. And Holy Ghost revival is coming as sure as I sit here in my seat. Holy Ghost revival is coming. And I love you.